Today on the John Ankerberg Show, a recent Pew report reveals 41% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ will return to earth in the next 40 years. The book of Revelation is God's message to all who are concerned about the future. It contains Jesus Christ's last words to the church on such important doctrines as what events begin to happen on earth after the rapture, what happens at the second coming, the final judgment, and reveals what will ultimately happen to Satan, to the Antichrist, and to those who follow false religions. Jesus also warns and describes the terrible events that will take place on earth during the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and his second coming to earth. Then he describes the millennium and the wondrous things God has planned for his people in eternity future. Today, we will take you through the book of Revelation in a clear and concise manner to help you understand its message and the future events God predicts are up ahead. My guest is news journalist and prophecy scholar Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who has reported from Jerusalem since 1993 and through the years interviewed every Israeli prime minister. Join us for this special edition of the John Ankerberg Show.
Welcome to our program. I'm John Ankerberg, and we have prophecy scholar Dr. Jimmy DeYoung that is with us. We're taking you through the entire book of Revelation. We have talked about the fact that God the Father gave this book to Jesus. I don't know if it was a surprise because God the Son knows everything that God the Father knows, but somehow God the Father said, I want you to have this information, and it's all about you. And Jesus passed it on to an angel to give it to John. And Jimmy, I want you to take it from there. Give us a quick review of what we have seen and then bring us up to where we're at right now.
John, as I go through the book of Revelation, and let's say I'm there at a meeting someplace across the United States or around the world on the second or third day, I would immediately remind them of what these three pillars stand for as it relates to the book of Revelation. On the left of your screen, the first pillar, that would be the rapture of the church. When Jesus shouts, the archangel shouts, the trump of God sounds, and we're caught up to be with him. Then there's a space between the first and the second pillar. The second pillar would be the return of Jesus Christ. That 7-year period of time between the rapture and the return is the tribulation period. Jesus, in fact, himself said, Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation, that 7-year period of time, he would return to the earth. Then there's a space to the next pillar, and that is the kingdom period, a 1,000-year period of time, and then the retribution, the great white throne judgment, after that eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Now, you talked about chapter 1. Before the rapture of the church, we have actually three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 1, we see Jesus Christ in his person and his power. In chapters 2 and 3, Jesus writes a personal letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. He asks John in chapter 1 to deliver that letter personally to all of the churches. John, by the way, was pastor of the church at Ephesus, and that is a wonderful study. If you have an opportunity to study chapters 2 and 3, you'll see the last words of Jesus Christ that he gives to us as Christians and as the church itself. Chapter 4 and verse 1, the word of God says, John the Revelator heard, as it were, a trumpet sound calling him up to be with him in the air. Now, that phrase, as it were, 52 times in the book of Revelation, is introducing an apocalyptic symbol. Apocalyptic meaning to reveal, to foretell, to make known, to prophesy. And so chapter 4, verse 1, John is taken into the heavenlies. In chapters 4 and 5, you're going to see a window into the third heaven. Some wonderful characters in the third heaven. God the Father is seated on the throne. He has a scrolled book in his hand. I call it the title deed to the earth, because this book is going to be taken by Jesus. He'll open the first of 21 judgments, And the sealed judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments will be used to bring the earth and earth dwellers under subjection, so Jesus can then receive from God the Father the Ancient of Days, the kingdom period. So then in the first half of the tribulation period, we have seven sealed judgments. Now, John, as you were mentioning a moment ago, there's several other activities taking place. I would suggest that behind those seven sealed judgments would be the backdrop of chapter 17, which is a false church. And very important that we understand that. We'll get to it a bit later.
Yeah, let's get to that next. And let's go back for the people that haven't heard anything so far. Let's take the fact of the importance of where the Antichrist comes in, which is actually when Jesus takes the seven sealed book and opens up the seven judgments there. The first one is the Antichrist. For those that didn't hear about that, start with that and then take us into the second one, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, if you'd like, and tell us why these judgments are so harsh.
Well, that first sealed judgment, that would be Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. A man on a white horse has a crown on his head, has a bow in his hand, no arrows. And the reason for that is he's going to be, as such, a man of peace, pseudo-peace, howbeit, but a man of peace. Many think that maybe the man on the white horse was Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus does ride a white horse back, but that's over in chapter 19, starting in verse 11 and following, and we ride white horses as well to come back to earth with Jesus Christ. So that first sealed judgment is the Antichrist. The next seal, and that would be in verses 3 and 4, is a man on a red horse. And this is a man who, he goes forth with a sword to conquer. This is actually the wars that are going to be unfolding throughout that seven-year period of time. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Be not afraid or fearful of that, because all of these things are going to happen. And this is going to be the beginning. We'll look later and more in depth at
this. You bet. We're going to actually go into the Old Testament and we're going to look at what some of those nations are, because part of what the Antichrist does in conquering, he conquers through peace, and he brings a peace treaty together in the Middle East among many nations that right now we don't have peace, okay? So the world thinks he's a real hero, but the fact is later on he changes that around. We're going to talk about that, but keep on going with the seals. Then we have what?
The third seal is going to be a man that is riding a horse that's going to represent famine. There'll be starvation across the earth. It says a measure of wheat for a penny. It says a measure of barley for a penny. Now, the wheat would be enough bread for a family of four for one day, and it would take a day's wages. A penny in the time that John wrote the book would be equal to a day's wages. And then a measure of barley. Well, that's animal food. So in order to be able to feed the animals, they would have to have a day's wages to do that. Following that, then you have the fourth seal judgment. This is a man who comes forth with death. Now, that's a natural because the Antichrist appears, wars then coming after that, rumors of wars, wars all over the world. And so the Bible tells us at this point in time, there's going to be 1/4 of the earth that will be killed. Now, that is a terrible judgment, but there's more killing of the people on the earth in the trumpet judgments, and we'll talk about that when we get to the trumpet judgments, but this will be 1/4 of the earth's population. You're talking about what, maybe at 7 billion people, 1.75 billion people that will die at this particular point in time. And the next judgment will be a martyrdom of believers. Now, not Christians, because remember, Christians leave at the rapture of the church. But there will be a number of people. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, says that a multitude that no man could number will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But they will be under persecution. Ultimately, Satan and all of the evil angels are going to be thrown to the earth, and their purpose then is to wipe out as many believers, not Christians. They would be tribulation saints. These people will be wiped out, and they are going to wonder, why, Lord, are we going through all this testing? The sixth seal judgment is going to be heavenly signs. The sun will turn as if it's black and sackcloth of ashes. The moon, which reflects, of course, the light of the sun, will turn red. The red blood moon it's talking about here. Many people thought that that was supposed to appear before the rapture. No, that appears during the tribulation period. And then after that, you go to chapter 8 and verse 1, and that's a space of silence, about a half hour of silence. And I would have to suggest the reason for that silence. John sees what's going to happen in the trumpet judgments and then in those fierce, vile judgments. And his voice is taken away from him. Doesn't know how to explain it, but that's through the sealed judgments,
yeah. John. Okay, so that's one of the things, if you want to talk about, that the Antichrist is doing. He's also, at the same time, all right, working with all of this stuff, he is erecting a false church to propagate a false message. Let's talk about that. Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This goes back into the Old Testament. We talked about, if you want to know the book of Revelation, it's like Union Station with the trains. You got a bunch of trains coming in from all over the place, and they've got different baggage on each train. And if you want to find out where all the stuff came from, you got to put it all together. Now, we've got baggage coming in here from the Old Testament that tells us another area that the Antichrist is working on, and that's transforming the world through a false religion. Take us there.
Well, remember, we talked about several things happening at one time. You just mentioned that. I would say chapter 17 of the book of Revelation is somewhat of a backdrop behind that first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Those seven seals that I just went through, those will be happening during that first half, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But as John said, over in Rome, Italy, and that we get from the fact that this message that is given to Jesus to give to John through the angel talks about in chapter 17, seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 9 says, he that hath wisdom can recognize the seven heads represent the seven-hilled city. Now at the time, 95 AD, when John wrote the book, the most famous of all seven-hilled cities, there were others, but the most famous was Rome, Italy, and everybody would know what John was talking about, what he would write down there in that ninth verse. Also, the word beast is used 8 times in the book of Revelation chapter 17. By the way, that Antichrist we talked about, he's referred to as the beast. In fact, the word Antichrist is not mentioned in Revelation, but the word beast is from chapter 13, verse 1. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea with seven heads and 10 horns. And so we have to determine now the seven heads were the seven mountain city of Rome and those 10 horns. When you go to verse 12, it's talking about a group of economic, political, governmental operations coming together and the Antichrist is going to empower them. Now that would be a phrase we've not mentioned before. That would be the revived Roman Empire, who are major players throughout the entire 7-year period of time, but they come about at the beginning of the 7-year. Remember, the book of Revelation 17 talks about a backdrop, which is this false church headquartered in Rome, Italy. The word harlot is used there in verse 5 of chapter 17, and then 3 other times the word whore is used. So 4 times we're talking about a non-virtuous, non-virgin woman who is going to be representing the false church there in chapter 17. In fact, the word woman is used 6 times. We're talking about 10 times this false type of a woman, a non-virtuous, non-virgin woman. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ. And as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So we're seeing now, again, apocalyptic literature, a symbol that represents the false church there in chapter 17.
All right. And he's not done. The Bible said in describing the Antichrist that he's there to conquer through peace. And you talked about the revived Roman Empire where he's going to gather the world together. He's going to have the power to make everybody think that he is terrific, but he pulls off a peace treaty with Israel and the enemies that we see around her right now that nobody else has been able to do. He's going to pull it off, and that really starts the tribulation period ticking. Talk about that for a moment, and then I want to get back to God's doing something at the same time. What is God doing? But talk about the fact of this peace treaty being signed.
John, here's where we go out of the book of Revelation to an Old Testament reference, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. In that verse it says, "And he," that's referring to the Antichrist, "will confirm a covenant." That covenant's talking about the peace treaty that you've just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, there's going to be a temple, and he'll cause the sacrifice in the temple to stop. He'll just have everything cease at that point in time, because ultimately ahead is the abomination of desolation.
Which is what?
The abomination of desolation is when actually the Antichrist walks into the Holy of Holies at a temple at the midway point there of the tribulation period between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says he goes in and claims to be God. That's blasphemy against Almighty God. That's the abomination of desolation.
Right.
Now, returning to the peace agreement that he's going to confirm, and this is key, there are already three peace treaties on the table. He's not going to sign a peace treaty. The Bible never says Antichrist will sign a peace treaty. He says, "I will confirm a peace treaty." That word in Hebrew is gabar. G-A-B-A-R, which actually translated does mean confirm. So you have the Camp David Accords, 1979, Jimmy Carter, Anwar Sadat, and Menachem Begin. Anwar Sadat, president of Egypt, Menachem Begin, prime minister of Israel. They go to Camp David and they come up with the Camp David Accords, a peace treaty. And then the second peace treaty would take place on September the 13th, 1993, when Bill Clinton would bring Yasser Arafat to the White House, along with Yitzhak Rabin, who was the prime minister of Israel. And they would sign then the Oslo Accords, a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people. The next year, October the 26th, 1994, Bill Clinton comes back into the Middle East. He brings along all of his constituency of leaders that help him to do what he does as president. He invites King Hussein of Jordan to come into the Arava, which is the southern end of the Jordan Valley, right near Eilat and the Red Sea. And then he brings Yitzhak Rabin, prime minister of Israel. The three men, they then sign the peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. John, I had the privilege of being able to be there just about as close as I am from here to you when these men signed this treaty.
I got to tell the people, I say, how does Jimmy know all of that? A lot of times you are on the platform as a news correspondent covering these events, so you know them back and forth.
Well, here we have now then the three peace treaties. Camp David Accord, 1979. Right. Oslo Accords, 1993. 1994, the peace treaty between Israel and Jordan.
Right.
And so going back now to the text, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, it says that he, the Antichrist, will confirm. He doesn't sign, but he walks on the scene, he looks at the treaties, and he says, "Gentlemen, I can confirm this treaty." And he confirms all three treaties who are not working today, they've never been normalized, and he confirms them. And that does, as you mentioned, start the clock ticking on the seven-year tribulation period.
All right, we only got a couple of minutes left, but God's also working. And it says along the way in this 3.5-year period of time between the rapture and the tribulation, he raises up two witnesses, and then he raises up 144,000. Describe, first of all, the two witnesses.
Remember that this is all happening in the first 3.5 years.
A busy time.
After the rapture of the church. And the devil is active, and so is the
God
the Father in making sure things happen. The two witnesses will be on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. these two witnesses will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is this. Jesus Christ is coming to set up the kingdom. You must receive him as your Lord and Savior to enter into the kingdom. That's different than the gospel of grace, which we're teaching today. But the gospel of the kingdom will be preached for that 3.5 year period of time, actually 1,260 days, the text says. And these two witnesses will preach, and their first results, John, will be 144,000 male virgin Jews. Now we get the male and virgin over there in chapter 14 of Revelation. And then the 144,000 male virgin Jews
coming out of each tribe,
laid out there in chapter 7, verse 4 through 8. And from the 12 tribes, 12,000 each.
Right.
By the way, verse 3, before we see those 12 tribes mentioned there, it says that God will seal these 144,000 male virgin Jews and give them a 7-year period of ministry to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to preach it to every single person on earth. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come. These 144,000 will go and do that. Verse 9 of chapter 7 says, a multitude that no man can number will come to know Christ
as
Savior.
We only have 2 minutes left. We got two witnesses that have special powers that God gives to them that really drives the Antichrist nuts, and they're right in Jerusalem. Talk about them.
Well, they can stop it from raining for the entire 3.5 year period of time. Somebody approaches them to kill them. The perpetrator is going to be killed in the like manner that they were trying to kill the two witnesses. They can call the plagues upon the earth. They're just empowered by God for this first 3.5 years of the tribulation period to get the gospel out, to get these 144,000 male virgin Jews saved so they can go preach to the rest of the world.
All right, we're going to talk about this more, but Jimmy, why does God want the person that's listening to us on television, whether it's in this country or in India, whether it's in the Orient or Russia or any place in the world, Africa, South America, why does God give us this information, and what does he want the person that's watching to do with it?
Well, he gives us the information today because these things are going to be fulfilled in the future. So if you're listening today, you don't have to enter into this type of tribulation. You can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will take you at the rapture of the church. That's the blessed hope that we have. We're going to not be here. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, I will keep you from that terrible time of judgment, the tribulation period. But you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today you are getting that message. Don't hesitate.
All right. Folks, I hope that you'll join us next week. You see, we got three pillars up here, and we've only talked about some of the events in the 3.5 years between the first and the second pillar. It's a busy time. It's a terrible time upon the earth. Lots going on. But the Bible says it's like a woman that's having a child. And when the birth pangs start, there's a period of time, a quite long period of time, in between the birth pangs. But what happens as she gets closer to having the child? The birth pangs become shorter. The Bible says the pains on earth in the judgments are going to get shorter to each other. They're going to increase in strength. And we're going to talk about what is going to happen when we reach the midway point of the tribulation. What is going to happen between there and the final retribution? All right? Lots to cover, and I hope that you'll join us.
If you would like to have today's show, it's available on audio CD. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-805-3030 and request offer R254. That number again is 1-800-805-3030.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show. For more information about today's series, please contact us at 1-800-805-3030 or visit us online at jashow.org. That's jashow.org.